Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Today we're talking about the Word. We're talking about Scripture and the Word itself. And we're going to talk today about the importance of God's Word in our life, why we need it in our life, why we cannot afford to live without it, and not just why it's important or why we need to read it, but we're gonna dig into how to read His Word. How can we make our time in the Word more fruitful? How can we engage in the Word in the way that God intended us to? So maybe that seems like a really basic or trivial topic to talk about, and you would be correct in thinking that. Scripture is one of the most basic foundational parts of our life as believers, as Christians, as people who follow Him. The Word of God should be an absolute foundation in our life that we do not compromise, that we do not sway from. Yet sadly, more and more we see the Word of God taking a back seat in our homes. We see it take a back seat in churches, right? We're beginning to see God's Word kind of lose its place in our lives as believers, lose its place of authority in our life. And today, more than ever, even our children today, kids today, it's one of the most biblically illiterate generations in recent history. And not just kids, obviously adults too, because us as adults, we're the ones called to be teaching the Word, to be passing the Word on down to people. And so even in our lives, people in this room, the Word is probably not as much of an emphasis as it should be. And we wonder why our culture, our world is becoming more and more secular, more and more anti-religion, more and more just anti-things of God, anti-truth. Could it be because we're losing a foundation of Scripture as our authority in our life? And maybe as believers, maybe we are not exemplifying God's Word in our we are not standing on it as our authority. And so we're gonna revisit the Word today. We're gonna talk about the importance of His Word, and my hope and my belief is that we're gonna just be equipped to continue to be people of His Word, people who stand for the Word of God, and people who love God's Word. All right, but I want us to just begin by just looking at Scripture and looking at what the Bible has to say about the Word of God, what it has to say about itself, really. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 through 17, says, "From infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for instruction, for conviction, correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work." The Word of God is useful. Every bit of it, every page in this book is useful for correction, for training in righteousness. We need the Word of God to equip us to be who He's calling us to be, to guide us, to lead us into all that He is calling us to. It is our greatest tool. It is the very words of God. He breathed His Word, and it's for us. Right, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to divide soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Right, the Word of God, it searches us. It searches every motive, right? It pierces through every thought, every motive of our heart. It's a measuring line. It shows us right from wrong. It exposes to us the areas of our heart that are not true, that are not where they're supposed to be, right? It has power to penetrate every motive, to reveal every motive, every thought. We need the Word of God to search us. Right, it's powerful to reveal what's good and what's true in our life if we are to hold ourselves close to it. And Psalm chapter 1, I love this psalm. Chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. This is what Psalm says about the one who keeps the word of God close to his heart. It says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or set foot on the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, yielding its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and who prospers in all he does." The one who keeps the word of God close to their hearts, the one who is firmly planted, firmly rooted in God's word, is like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, right? Whose roots grow deep, whose leaves do not wither, who produces fruit in every season. That's who I want to be. I want to build a faith whose roots are deep, whose branches are fruitful, right? Who produces fruit in and out of season, who does not grow weary, who does not fade away. If I want my faith to produce something real and permanent, I need to be rooted in the word of God. I need to hold myself close to his word. Do we meditate on his word day and night? Do we keep it near us day and night? Is it ingrained in our life? Is it the foundation of our life? Is it what we are built upon? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 through 9. "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These words I am commanding you today are to be upon your hearts. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as reminders on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates." Do we reflect this attitude towards the word of God in our life? Do we carry it with us into our homes? Do we exemplify it in our homes, in our families? Do we teach it to our children? Do we take it with us when we're on the road? Is it on our minds when we're going to sleep at night? Are we people of the word? Does God's word consume us? Are we filled with his word? Do we prioritize his word in every area, every walk of life? God is calling us to be people of his word, to hold his word close. It is one of the most incredible gifts and tools that he has given us. His very words given to us, revealed to us. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus in the desert, when he's being tempted, Satan comes to him and is tempting him with things of this world. And what does Jesus say? He says, "Man does not live on bread alone, but the very words that come from the mouth of God." Do we live on the very words that come from the mouth of God? Do we build our life upon his words? Is it our foundation? Is it our resting place? Who in the room, anybody who's ever put together a piece of furniture? Probably most of us, right? And then how many of you try to put that piece of furniture together without using the instructions? Every guy in the room raises their hand. I know it. It's true. Right? And you think, "Oh, this looks easy. I got this. I don't need those instructions." Throw them in the garbage. And then you try to build it, and you're about halfway through, and then you realize, "Oh, shoot. I put that piece in backwards. And now I have to take the entire thing apart and start from scratch again." Right? And it's terrible. It's frustrating. And you're like, "Man, maybe I should have used the instructions." And me, I use the instructions, and I still mess it up. It was like a couple months ago, I ordered a new shelf for my office, a little bookshelf. It's a nice looking shelf, nothing too crazy. So I order it, comes in a little box with instructions and stuff. And I'm using the instructions the entire time. And I built, it was like almost completely done. I had like one piece left. And then I realized I couldn't put that one piece in because I accidentally put a piece in like upside down. And so I had to unscrew every single little screw I screwed in and take the entire thing apart and basically start completely over. And it took me like an hour and a half to build this dumb little bookshelf. I was like actually breaking a sweat on the floor in my office. I'm not even kidding. It was terrible. I hated that thing. I was ready to just throw it in the garbage. Right? I can't even read the instructions. But there was some specific screw I've never even seen before, some weird self-fastening screw. I didn't even though I was reading the instructions, I didn't even know what I was reading. Like, I didn't even have the framework. I couldn't speak the language of this instruction manual, right? It just wasn't even helping. But sometimes we need a little instruction in our life, right? I'm sure most of us realize sometimes we need help. And sometimes it takes humility to say, you know what, I don't actually know it all. I need help. I actually need some instruction here. I actually don't know what I'm doing. And even though maybe that's uncomfortable or that hurts your pride, a lot of times the discomfort of just humbling yourself and saying I need help and just looking for instruction is a lot less uncomfortable than the failure that comes or the pain that comes, the consequences of thinking we can just do it all on our own or figure it out all on our own, right? Sometimes it's worth it to just bite the bullet and say, you know what, I need instruction in my life. I need help. And anybody in the room that's been a Christian for any moment of time, I'm sure you know, it can be hard sometimes, right? It can be exhausting at times. It can be draining. Sometimes it's just confusing, right? Sometimes it's exhausting even just constantly being at conflict with our flesh and the spirit in our life and trying to discern right from wrong. And there's so many voices in our life telling you this or that, pulling you one way or the other, right? It can just get confusing. It can get exhausting. And we need help. We can't do it on our own. And if we're just trying to figure this thing out all on our own, it's going to be a mess, right? But so thankfully, God gave us some instruction. He gave us the ultimate instruction manual for our faith. He gave us his word. And we need to recognize the gift of his word in our life and our need for it, right? That we cannot afford to think that we can operate in our faith outside of his word. We need to humble ourselves and recognize the need for his word in our life. And I'm sure many of us have recognized that we need the word. We, you know, if you've been in the church, you hear, like, we need to know the word of God. We need to read the word. We need to be in his word daily. And it's not that you don't understand that you need his word, but maybe some of you are just left with, like, I don't even know how to read his word, or I don't even know where to start, or I hear how important God's word is and that it's significant for my life, but I haven't experienced that yet. I don't really know what people are talking about. And I believe what we're talking about today, and I hope it can help fix that and maybe help begin to give you a little bit of a framework or kind of some stepping stones to begin to make the word a part of your life and to engage in it in a way that is truly fruitful and truly impactful for us. And so we're just going to get real practical this morning and just talk about his word and how we can begin to be better become people of his word and engage in his word in a way that I think God has intended us to. And I mean, what I'm talking about today, it's not an exhaustive list. I cannot possibly fit everything there is to talk about scripture in one sermon. And so, no, this isn't completely exhaustive, and it's not. It's just a few different points of things to keep in mind, things to be thinking about, things we can practice with the word. But yeah, it's not an exhaustive list. Knowing the word of God, studying it, making it a part of your life is a lifelong journey. It's not going to happen overnight. And I hope that we are people that are committed to being people of the word for a lifetime, that we're committed to studying his word and knowing it for a lifetime. I truly believe we can spend the rest of our lives studying it, keeping it close to our hearts, and it will continue to speak to us in new ways. God will continue to reveal himself in new ways. There will still always be ways that we can grow, that we can improve. And so it's just about maybe today could be a help to get you started on that journey, that lifelong process. Or maybe for some of you who have been engaging in that journey, maybe it can today could help just give some resources or a little direction to make that time more effective and more impactful. But Yeah, I'm going to talk about just four different points today, four different things that we can implement into our time of Scripture that I believe will lead us to be able to make the Word of God what it was intended to be in our life. And so, number one is that we need to absolutely approach God's Word with humility. All right, when we are going into our time of reading the Word or dealing with God's Word in any situation, any case, we need to approach it with humility and to approach it as our absolute authority, as the Word of God, as truth. Right? Again, we've probably noticed and began to recognize our culture, our society is becoming more and more post-truth, where truth is just relative now. Meaning, really, there isn't really truth. There's not a hard-defined truth. Truth is whatever you want it to be. It's whatever you feel it should be. It's however you want to define it, right? And so, who's to say that this is right and this is wrong? Who's to say that God's Word is absolute authority? And it's created this attitude that the Bible is maybe just one of many, many resources, many just voices in our life that we can consider. And it's maybe become more of a suggestion than an authority. And sadly, this has found its way in many churches where all of a sudden God's Word isn't the Word of God. It's not the final authority in our life anymore. In some churches, the Word of God has become more of a suggestion than an authority. And I'll tell you, it's sad that maybe this seems like a bold or controversial statement, but it absolutely should not be, that you cannot be a Christian and not believe that the Bible is the authoritative Word of God. Straight up. There's really no argument outside of that. Okay? If you are to be a Christian, if you claim Christ as your Savior, if you put faith in Jesus, you're also putting faith in His Word as the authority and the truth in your life. Right? And so, if we're to engage in God's Word the way He intended it to be, if we want it to be fruitful, it must be authority in our life. We must submit to Scripture as truth, as authority. We submit to Scripture. Scripture does not submit to us. Right? We don't get to come in and pick and choose from His Word and say, oh, I like how that sounds. I don't like how that sounds. I'm going to take that. I'm not going to take that. Right? It's all or nothing. Okay? And so, maybe with the very first start, let's get our hearts in a place that is ready to submit to Scripture. You need to decide for yourself if you're going to choose to believe it. This even is a step of faith. It's a choice of faith to believe that God's Word is the truth for my life, the authority for my life. It is the highest authority in my life. We need to make Scripture the measuring line for our life. Right? Everything in our life needs to be tested against the Word of God. Every single conviction we have, every single conclusion we come to, decisions we make, it should come from Scripture, from His Word. And it should be able to be tested against Scripture and to be approved as true and right because it's found in His Word to be true and right. So the things we associate ourselves with, the things we produce in our life, are they birthed from His Word? The things that we stand on, our morals, our convictions, can it be traced to His Word? Scripture needs to be the absolute standard for our life. We cannot accept anything in our life that is in a misalignment with the Word of God if we are to follow Him and to live our lives for Him. We need to treat Scripture as the absolute authority, where if His Word says it, I'm going to believe it. If it's in the Word, then I should expect that my life reflects it. I'll say, I think one of the most life-changing experiences I've ever had is when I began to treat the Word of God as absolute authority and not just a nice suggestion or a nice resource, right? I mean, even growing up, I grew up in the church and spent plenty of time around Scripture or hearing Scripture. But for a lot of my life, it wasn't necessarily an authority. I didn't necessarily have an expectation that if I read something, I should expect it to be reflected in my life. And so when I finally got to a place where I expected Scripture to be directly reflected through my life, that's when my life began to truly change. Sorry, this thing is really falling down on my face. Right? It's what caused me to begin to live in true freedom from sin. It's what allowed me to begin to actually be fruitful in my faith. My faith began to produce real fruit and began to become more permanent. And when I would go through a trial or a struggle, it didn't take me out because I wasn't living by just my emotions or my feelings or what I felt like. No, there was truth guiding my life and keeping, there was a foundation of truth that came from the Word of God that kept me firm, standing firm, that brought me through the trial and allowed me to actually receive the result of that trial in my life, actually allowed God to do a real work in my heart because I wasn't swayed by my emotions or my feelings, but I was held to the authority of God's word. It was truth in my life, right? And I began to, experience real freedom from sin because I stopped relying on my own human ideas and my own human methods of doing things. And I looked at what is God's way, what is his method, and just directly applied that to my life. And then, what do you know? It actually worked. When his word says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, I said, you know what? I'm going to try that. I'm going to do that. And I started confessing my sin with fellow believers, praying with them, and I was healed. It was effective. It was powerful, right? It worked. I just simply began to take God at his word, and it began to produce real fruit in my life. And as you take him at his word, as you take that step of faith to stand on his word as authority, it will begin to be revealed to you to be truth in your life, right? If you never take that step to put your full trust in his word and submit yourself to his word, you'll probably never experience his word as truth or as the ultimate authority in your life. And so in order to experience the fullness of God's word and all that it has for you, you need to be in a place of submitting to it as your absolute authority. I started to experience the fullness of God when it became the absolute authority in my life. And experiencing God, experiencing relationship with God is incredibly important. It doesn't matter what we know about his word or know about Christianity if we do not experience relationship with God. We need to have actual encounters and experiences. But I truly believe without partnering those experiences with God with the authority and the discipline of his word in our life, those experiences become nothing more than just a cool moment or just a memory, right? And then it's kind of like the seed that falls in good soil but then is choked out by the weeds. We maybe have this meaningful encounter with God, this moment with God that is real, but it kind of stays as just this cool thing that happened one time until we apply the discipline of his word to our life and we allow his word to be a foundation and a structure in our life. His word pulls the weeds out of the soil and produces soil that is ready to receive, to have seeds planted and then produce fruit and have something grow and take root in our life. It's kind of like someone who's lifting weights or a bodybuilder. Right, they can go to the gym all the time. They can be lifting weights, and they'll probably see some quick gains, or they'll see some results. But unless they have the proper diet, unless they're using the proper form while they're lifting, unless they have proper rest, that the weights they're lifting are only going to be able to produce so much, or the results will only be able to go so far. Right, you minimize your potential for gain if you do not practice good disciplines. If you don't have a good structure in your life, then you're minimizing the potential for gain in your life. And it's the same with our faith. If we do not have a structure of God's word in our life, if we do not live by the discipline of his word, I think we minimize the impact of our experiences with God and our relationship with him. God's word provides a structure for our faith, where our faith can begin to become permanent and begin to produce real fruit. And when I have an encounter with God, that can begin to become a daily part of my life and a new foundation of my life, a new permanent thing in my life. It begins to become a part of my lifestyle when I partner it with the truth of his word and a foundation of his word. So we need the word of God to be our measuring line, to be our standard, to be the absolute authority in our life. We need to humble ourselves to his word. Sometimes that can be really difficult, really painful, because sometimes there's things in his word that are uncomfortable, that call me to give something up that I don't want to give up, or it calls me to believe something that seems very offensive to the world, right? In some countries, people are killed for taking a stand for his word, right? But we have to be willing and ready to take that stand, to submit to his word as our authority, no matter the cost, if we want to truly receive all that God has for us through his word. So we need to humble ourselves. Number two is we need to understand that there is context to Scripture. When we're reading a passage of Scripture, we need to understand the context or the background behind that Scripture. We need to understand that there is details around that passage that will help us understand the meaning of that Scripture. So one of the most common mishandlings of Scripture is taking a Scripture passage out of context. And I can go in and I can cherry pick this passage and use it for my agenda, right? And I completely take this passage out of context and I use it in a way that it was not intended to be used. So the Word of God, it can speak to us in so many different ways. Many different people can read one passage and could maybe come away with a different application for their life. But it is not up for our interpretation. There is a correct interpretation of Scripture. Right, there is a right way to read Scripture and a wrong way to read Scripture. And in order to read Scripture correctly, we need to understand the context of Scripture and that that's actually a real thing and that it's actually possible to misinterpret a Scripture passage. Right? It's not just there for you to do with what you please. We need to handle Scripture correctly and put in work to truly understand what his word is saying to us. And so there's just a couple things that we should keep in mind when reading Scripture that I think will help us really understand the context of Scripture. And so one is that the Bible, we need to understand that the Bible is one unified story leading to Christ. So the Bible is made up of 66 books, but these books are not, it's not just a bunch of random books all compiled together. But they all work together to tell one story of God restoring his people back into relationship with him. From Genesis to Revelation, it's a part of one story. It's a part of one narrative of God drawing his people into relationship with him. And it's all fulfilled through Jesus. It all points back to Jesus. So when we're reading Scripture, when we're reading even just small passages of Scripture, a really good question to ask yourself every time you read it is, how does this passage play a role in telling the story of God restoring his people back into relationship? And how does this passage point back to the gospel? How does this passage point me to Jesus? How could it be fulfilled through Jesus? All Scripture is a unified story. It's all connected. It's all important. It's all necessary. Right? And Scripture relies upon Scripture. And so we need to understand that it's all connected and allow Scripture to interpret Scripture. Right? Understand that every verse in the Bible makes up a chapter, and every chapter makes up a book, and those books make up the overall story. And so I know every single person in the room has probably done this at some point in your life. You're like, I'm going to read my Bible today. All right, that's where I'm reading, right? You just turn to a random page and you start reading. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. And I believe we totally can read small passages of Scripture and God can speak to us through that. And I believe we should read Scripture in small portions and take time to meditate on that and allow it to search us and speak to us. But we need to make sure that we're actually coming to the right conclusions when we're reading that Scripture passage. And so we need to understand when we are reading just random verses in the middle of a book or in the middle of a chapter, that there is context surrounding that verse that you're reading that go into your interpretation of that passage. So, I mean, it's like if you just pick up a random book from the library, a novel, and you turn to the middle of the book and you read three sentences, and then you're like, well, I have no idea what that meant. That was confusing. Right? It's like, well, no duh. You just turn to the middle of a story. Those three sentences were part of telling a far larger story. They're a part of a much, that those sentences were a part of a much larger chapter, and those chapters are a part of a book, right? And so if I turn to a random passage in Romans and I read three verses from Romans, and I'm like, wow, that was really confusing. I have no idea what that means. Well, it's probably because you don't understand that the role it's playing in that chapter. You don't understand the specific issue that Paul is addressing. You don't understand the specific people that he's talking to, that he's speaking to. Right? Those are details that go into helping us understand and correctly interpret what we're reading. And so if there's a passage that you read that doesn't make any sense at all, it's probably because you're missing some of the context behind that story or behind that passage. You're missing some of the important details that go into helping us understand what that passage is saying. And so I encourage you to put in the work. Sometimes it takes work and discipline to work to actually understand the Bible, to actually understand the context of Scripture, to ask yourself the correct questions. And another part of understanding just context of Scripture is we need to approach it with the proper lens, right? So we need to understand that we all live in modern day America, and we have a specific culture, and we have a specific way of thinking, right? A specific way of processing things. And so with that, we are going to naturally interpret Scripture through our way of viewing things, through our worldview, through our modern-day America lens, right? That's what we're viewing the world through. And so we're going to interpret Scripture through that naturally. And sometimes that can cause us to come to incorrect conclusions about Scripture. We need to understand that the Bible was written for you, yes, God, it's God's word for you. God speaks to us through it, but it was not written directly to you. You, all of us in the room, were not the direct audience of the books of the Bible, right? Every book of the Bible had a specific writer, and they were usually writing to a specific audience, right? Paul's letters, he's addressing a specific church, and he's addressing a specific situation. And so we need to take off our modern day America lens and put on the lens of life back then and culture back then in order to fully understand what is being spoken to us. And so, for example, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. You're called to be the salt of the earth." And if we're reading that through modern day America, we're like, okay, cool, salt, woohoo. Like, I don't really know what that's supposed to mean for me, but cool. It might just be something we just kind of glance over, brush over, and then leave it at that. But if you were to understand and look at that through the eyes of people back then, it would take on a whole new meaning. Because you'd realize, oh, salt back then was used for many, many things that it is not used for today anymore. So salt was used to preserve food, one, but salt was also used as currency. It was so valuable that they would use it to trade for other goods, right? It was also used to season things, but salt had a wide variety of uses and purposes, and it was incredibly valuable in life and culture back then. And so when Jesus says you are called to be the salt of the earth, really what he's saying is you are called to bring value to the earth. You are called to bring value, immense value, everywhere that you go. You are called to preserve the things of God in the earth, right? You are called to, people should be able to look at you and see Christ in you or see God in your life and see something that they need, see something that's valuable, that's priceless, right? There's a whole new meaning there that you wouldn't understand if you didn't understand the context there. And then I just have two more points that we'll kind of fly through these. It won't be too long. But the third is we need to practice a discipline of reading scripture in community with one another. Take the opportunity to read the word of God with other believers. So God's word is, it should be something that you engage in for your personal relationship with him in a personal time, but it absolutely should also be something that we engage in community. Because one, community provides accountability, right? And when we're all engaging in scripture together, we're all reading the word of God together, we're holding each other accountable to the word of God. And we're not allowing each other to make inaccurate conclusions about scripture, right? If I'm reading the Bible with someone else and I say, oh, I think this is what this means, and it's not true, then there's an opportunity for us to have a discussion about that and be like, no, this is actually what this is saying. This is actually how it should be applied to our life. And we have an opportunity to hold each other accountable to the authority and the truth of scripture. And community also, it just brings different perspectives. And so when I have questions about scripture or I read a passage that just doesn't make sense to me, maybe somebody else is able to speak up and provide some a new perspective or new insight there that you never thought of before, you never saw before. And all of a sudden, that passage comes to life in a whole new way. I think scripture can just come alive in a whole new way when we're engaging in it together and we're using scripture as a point of community with one another, and we take time to discuss together, we take time to pray through scripture together. There's just an incredible opportunity for discipleship and just learning God's word when we engage in it with each other. And so I would encourage you, make the word of God a part of your community. Make it a part of your daily life, right? This church can and should be a place that loves the word of God and cherishes the word of God. My hope is that this church has a culture of loving God's word and teaching it, but that should not only be expected to be carried out and fulfilled by the pastor or whoever's on the pulpit, right? You as the body all play a role in building a culture at this church that loves the word of God and stands for his word and does not compromise it. And so let's work to make it a part of our daily lives. Make it a part of your friendships. Invite people over to your home just to read scripture together or be a part of small groups, Bible studies. And then my final point is that when we read God's word, it should always lead us into relationship with God. At the end of the day, scripture is meant to be experienced, and it sets our expectation for what should be experienced in our faith. And so if we don't experience what we're reading, it's not really the point. We're missing the point. We're missing the purpose of scripture. He gave us his word ultimately so that we could be equipped to know him better. And so if our time in the word does not lead us to actually experience what we're reading, if our time in the word doesn't lead us to experience our creator, to experience relationship with God, then we're missing the point. And so if you're wondering why your time in the word feels so empty or it feels like it's not producing something, maybe it's because you're not really expecting it to lead you to relationship or any sort of experience of what you're reading. And so if you want to maximize the impact of your time in God's word, I would just encourage you to have an expectation and create a discipline of allowing it to lead you into relationship. So take 10 or 15 minutes after you read and just take time to pray about what you just read. Take time to just reflect and meditate and talk with God about what you just read. Pray and ask him to help you implement it in your life. Take time to immediately respond and put to action what you just read, right? Don't just read it and be like, oh yeah, that's a good idea, that's a good thought. Move to action. Finish your scripture time with response, with action, with relationship. Pull out your journal. Write down what God was speaking to you. Let it produce some sort of action in your life. And I truly believe it will begin to just come to life in a whole new way because you begin to be engaging with his word in the way that he intended it to be engaged with, right? You're using it for its true purpose, to know him, to experience relationship with him. So as I close, just want us to remember just how important God's word is for our life. And not just acknowledge that we need God's word or just say, yeah, I need to read it, but let's really take that serious and be intentional and disciplined about making it a part of our life, about remembering his word daily, about making it a part of our daily habits, our daily disciplines. Right? God has revealed so much of himself through his word. And so through reading the word and knowing it, we have an opportunity to know him better each and every day. The more we know his word, the more we're going to be able to be equipped to have real experiences with God, to have real encounters with him. So do we hold God's word as our highest authority? Do we work hard to understand his words and apply it to our life? Do we cherish his word and teach it to our children? Do we teach it to our friends, to our family? Do we love his word and hold it close to our hearts? And do we allow the word of God to actually shape us and mold us? Let's make God's word the foundation of our life and stand on his word as our greatest authority. And through doing so, I fully believe the Spirit of God will lead us into all that he has for us. And then like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, we'll be able to have roots that grow deep and to have a faith that is fruitful and that produces something real and true. And we'll be able to actually test and approve what is good in our life and begin to truly just walk in all that God has for us.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.